Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of goals and roles, swimming in your lane and reaching your full potential. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after industry educator, and a great multifamily thought leader and industry consultant, the fabulous Dr. Debbie Phillips, president of The Quadrillion. Welcome, Debbie.
Well, thank you, Paul, and it is an absolute pleasure to join you today. And you're right, this is a very important topic in light of our economy. When we talk about goals and roles and swimming in your lane, I think all of our listeners today would agree that, clients are more demanding and our talent is stretched thin as we face the challenges post-COVID. So it's an important topic, and I thought it would be important for us to just really frame what's going on in the industry today. And I think everyone, all of our listeners would agree that, it's important that we think about, how do we select our talent and how do we engage our talent? And throughout this whole conversation today, I'm going to be talking about, what are our goals? And if we just remember kind of our past classes that we might have taken in our CAPS program, our CAM, and our CPM classes, I just always like to bring us back to what are the goals. And in a recent survey, I think it was Matt Smith with McKinsey, he quoted a study not too long ago that 90% of companies believe that they're going to have some sort of meaningful skills gap over the next coming years. And out of those 90% of companies, only 16% of them really believed that they were prepared to meet those challenges. So I know from my own personal experience, the clients that I'm consulting with, owners today are scrutinizing those financial statements line by line by line. And as we add new talent to the team, it's so important because a lot of times people will assume that, well, they're with such and such a company and they, did it a certain way. And when they join a new company, they think, oh, that's the same way we do that. I call it kind of baking the cookies along with the same recipe, but that's not always the case. So I just wanted to frame our comments today around what are those goals that we are really trying to accomplish. And the overarching goals for us in multifamily, certainly, we want to perform as a fiduciary and we want to make a profit. Nobody goes into business saying, oh, let's just see how much money we're going to lose. But then the third goal is always to increase NOI and then enhance the value of the asset. And when I teach our real estate courses at a number of our, colleges and universities, I always tell my students, your favorite uncle is Uncle Irv. when you take the NOI and you divide by the cap rate, that gives you the value of that property. And the reason, Paul, that I think it's so incredibly important that we always, keep those four primary goals in the forefront of our mind is because A groundskeeper may say, oh, that's just the stuff for the corporate office, or that's just the stuff for my manager. Well, quite the contrary. You know, a groundskeeper needs to understand his or her role in maintaining and enhancing that curb appeal, because most of our renters today are visual buyers. You know, they've already checked us out, you know, on the search engines and that kind of thing. But then they're coming to our communities to really verify, is it as good as it looks on the internet? So I think I'm so passionate, you know my personality, Paul. I'm so passionate about understanding and really communicating to the entire team what are those goals and what are the roles that each team member needs to play. I wanted to just share a quick story. You know, we have so many great team members, and from time to time we'll have a groundskeeper. And they just have, you know, a dynamic personality, and they'll inquire, hey, what does it take to lease these apartments? And so, you know, we've talked in past conversations that I'm all about, you know, knowledge transfer and how do we keep and retain talent. And that's what we're going to be talking about, you know, at the end of our session today. But I think it's very important that groundskeeper says, you know, Debbie, what do I need to do to know how to lease an apartment? And I was just at the Tarrant County Awards Banquet Friday night in Fort Worth, and I was reminded everybody that Rick Graff and Jeff Lowry and others, they started as a groundskeeper, and now, you know, they have risen through those positions and lead multinational or national property management companies. So I think it's important that we don't discount and we don't try to, you know, hamper or dampen someone's interest and enthusiasm, because we know that when our team members want to live on the property and they enjoy what they're doing and they show that natural interest in those positions, we need to foster that as much as possible. So I always like to start out with, you know, knowing the goals of the ownership. And many of us, and I'll give you another example, you know, some of my students at some of these colleges and universities, they'll say, oh, Dr. Debbie, I want to work on a brand new property. And I'm like, well, you know, just because it's a bright, shiny property doesn't mean it doesn't have its challenges. And so I always like to remind us that, hey, you know, think about, where is that property in the life cycle of real estate? Is it in a lease up position? Do we need to stabilize it? Do we need to renovate? Is it a value add property where we're doing those renovations and then we have to lease it again and, you know, go after a different resident profile because we've raised those rents? And so I just want all of our listeners today to think about, what is truly the goal? What is our why? You know, Simon Sinek always says, start with why. What is your why? Why are you tuning in today? Well, you're wanting to think about, what is your role in this big, great industry that we serve? You know, we serve a $3 trillion industry. And if you look at demand, I'm here at the National Multifamily Housing Conference this week, and the demand says that by 2030, we're going to need 4.3 million new units. And so we certainly know that there's a shortage in affordable housing. We know that one of the fastest growing sectors of our industry is that build to rent. So wherever you sit in our industry and whatever lens you are looking through, I want you to be thinking about, what are your primary goals and what is your role? And so when we come back after this next break, I want to get into understanding and knowing your strengths. You know, when we talk about the goals of increasing NOI, every single one of us, whether we work in a corporate office or we're on the front lines taking care of our great residents, it's important for us to think about, what are we doing to do what? to enhance the value of that asset. And let's face it, in life, you're either an asset or a liability. You're either putting the points on the board, or you're just kind of what we call enrolled. And we're going to cover that in the last session section of our program today. But I think when you think about what are the goals, does everybody on the team know what we're playing for, the goals? Now, I was so excited about my Georgia Bulldogs the other day. You know, I mean, back-to-back champions. But you know something, you know, Kirby Smart didn't go out there on that playing field not telling people to play their hardest. And he said, you know, two words, be aggressive. Well, I just think about this, you know, as leaders today, it's so important that we stay on message, that we over-communicate, that we don't muddle the message, that everybody on the team knows what we're playing for. And we're playing for that championship. And what does that championship mean? Well, number one, that we're enhancing the value of the asset, and that if we're in fee management, you know, there's two types of management, self-management, fee management, but that we're doing what? We're meeting the goals of our owner. So with that, I think that this is a great time to pause and just ask our listeners today, if you had to communicate your immediate, your short-term goals to your team, what would that be? What would your short-term goals be? And do your team members really understand it? If you went around the table and you asked the team members what the goals were, could they be in line, and would they all be, you know, in sync with that? So I think that's a perfect place to stop for our first session.
All right.
Any questions?
No, that was great. We are going to be back right after these messages, and we're going to talk more about goals and roles. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we are discussing the topic of goals and roles, swimming in your lane and reaching your full potential. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after industry educator, and great multifamily thought leader and industry consultant, the wonderful Dr. Debbie Phillips, president of The Quadrillion. I want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Debbie, in the first segment, you did a great job of framing the and outlining the problem that exists in the industry. Let's talk a little more specifically in this segment about the goals and roles and how are we supposed to define those?
Well, thank you again. And to our listeners, you know, we closed out the first section of our program talking about identifying the goals. You know, it's really hard to perform at our best when we don't understand, you know, how the game is being played. And Paul, you know, from being in my audience, I always like to recommend so many great books. And a long time ago, when I first started in this industry, way back in the 80s, and some of our listeners weren't even born then, but one of my great leaders by the name of Bill Hamilton, you know, Bill gave me a wonderful book, and it was called The Game of Work. And I'll never forget him handing me The Game of Work, and I thought, what is he giving me this book for? And, you know, it was just so impactful as I look back at that time and think about that book, because it's really important that as leaders that we really frame, you know, the goals and how we're going to keep score on our teams. And so when we think about, we've just covered goals, and those four goals, overarching goals, were to perform as a fiduciary, to make a profit, increase NOI, and enhance the value. So now I want us to turn our attention to what is the role for each of us? You know, when your natural talents and passions connect with who you are and what you are, you tend to be happier. My research on employee engagement really proved that out, and I'll share more about that later. But one of the things that I want us to think about, and a lot of authors talk about job crafting or job sculpting, and I want you, all of your listeners, to think about this term that I phrase called genius zone. Every one of us have strengths. And when we play hardest in our area of strength, not only do we have greater performance and productivity, but we also drive profits to the bottom line, and I'll be talking about that later. But when I talk about being in your genius zone, I'm talking about really your strengths and the roles, whether you're in operations, whether you're in maintenance, and by the way, I don't like the word maintenance. I call that service. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're in marketing. Maybe you are in a leadership role. Maybe you're working at the corporate office and you're working in risk management or accounting or, you know, resident engagement, social media, and that kind of thing. The reason I say it's really important, and today we don't refer to them as job descriptions. We really refer to it as roles and responsibilities. Like, what is your role and what is your responsibility as it relates to the greater goal that we've been talking about? So when we talk about the role that you're in, I want you to think about this. This is how I really frame your genius zone. And listen, let's just cut to the chase. We have all had a team member that they look like they've been weaned off of a lemon. I mean, they're sour, they're puckered up, they're not engaged, they're always criticizing, they're disrupting in a negative way. I call that person is out of alignment. Hmm. So what do I mean by that? That means that person is not using their gifts, and we all have gifts, every one of us. So when we talk about our genius zone, and people say, well, how do you determine your genius zone? And I always suggest to you listeners, think about what are you great at? You know, the top five strengths, that's 1 through 5, and you could use the Gallup assessment. You could use, you know, Myers-Briggs, use science. There's so many different assessments, but the one that I favor the most is what I call the ME map. And that me map is for you to look back over your career and you think about the times when you were what they call in flow, meaning you were hitting on all cylinders, that you got lost in your work, that you were just really, I call it, you know, getting the juice out of your work. So those top five strengths, that's 1 through 5, and Strength Finder, I think the Gallup Strength Finder 2.0 measures 35 different strengths. So let's just think about using, you know, that number in our discussion today. So our greatest strengths would be 1 through 5. These are the things, friends, that you can do with your eyes closed. You know, you're creating curriculum or you're doing a property audit or something. It's just the things that you're absolutely great at. And then 6 through 10 are the strengths and the things that you're good at, but you're not great. You know, Rockefeller says good is the enemy of great. But think about, they're not probably in those top five, but you are good at them. And then 10 through 21, you could do with training, meaning if you had a manual or you had a checklist, you could do those types of things. It might be, you know, a property inspection, a unit-by-unit inspection, whatever. Those are those 10 through 21 strengths that you could do if you had a little bit of training. And then 22 through 35, no way, no how. Okay? That's like you putting me in an accounting department. I would not be your best fit. And this is really, and if you're listeners are taking notes in your journal, or maybe you're just driving listening to this program today, I want you to write down or remember this term called job fit. And I describe job fit as, you know, Wilt Chamberlain and Billy Shoemaker. You know, Wilt Chamberlain, you'd have to stack up 2 Billy Shoemakers, you know, to be as tall as Wilt Chamberlain. But Billy Shoemaker, the great horse jockey, you know, there was a reason that he was short and light. You know, Wilt Chamberlain, certainly his strength, his, you know, height. So the reason I talk about job fit is because it is one of the best predictors of employee engagement. Like, does that person have the opportunity to do what they do best? And when we talk about that, I think as it relates to goals and roles, you want to make sure that you're using people's natural strengths. Okay, you may have somebody that's extremely analytical. Well, they may make an assistant manager. They may make a risk management team member. But it's so important. And I see a lot of mistakes sometimes. We think that the best way to promote a great leasing consultant on a property is to make he or she a assistant manager. And we know sometimes that just leads to utter chaos and creates disaster, because you know what? You've just stamped out and you've just smothered that person's natural gifts, and you put them in an office behind a computer to post rents and to handle resident issues all day long. And that might not be the best place for that person, that leasing consultant. And you may be asking yourself, well, I'm on a small property or I work in a small company. How do we keep that leasing consultant motivated and inspired? Well, that leasing consultant could be an ambassador. That leasing consultant could be a trainer, a mentor, somebody that could add and do knowledge transfer. Because, friends, that is what you always ask that question sometimes, you know, what keeps you up at night? Well, what keeps me up at night is the lack of knowledge transfer, whether it be through formal policies and procedure manuals or just the sharing of knowledge. You know, when those baby boomers walk out of those places of employment, they take all their experience with them. So how in the world are we going to be transferring that knowledge? So as we talked about the goals that we're trying to accomplish, for our owners and our clients. I want us to really think about in a very precise way what are the strengths of our team members. And you may say, well, we have a small team, Debbie, and we're asking our team members to do a lot of different things. Well, I'm going to get into that as we talk about appreciation and recognition, because you may be asking a team member to maybe do something that's outside their genius zone, and how do you really keep them motivated? So that's a very important topic. Just because a person is performing in their role, then what is it going to take to keep them performing at their optimum? But also, you know, thinking about how are they going to train and develop people within their team and within your company. You know, Paul, that's one of the things that we're seeing right now with so many acquisitions and scaling. People say, hey, I'm about to take on 12 or 13 new properties. Where's that talent going to come from? And I would suggest that you look under the hood, that the best talent comes and is grown organically within your own organization. And that talks about culture fit, job fit, and skill-ready talent. So we can talk about that when we come back after this next break. So I hope I've covered right now, what does it mean to play in your genius zone and using your strengths to the optimum performance?
All right. Well, we are going to be back. We're going to talk about employee engagement in this next segment. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because Multifamily Matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of goals and roles, swimming in your lane, and reaching your full potential. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after industry educator, and a great multifamily thought leader and industry consultant, the fantastic Dr. Debbie Phillips, the president of the Quadrillion. Before we get into the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegiant, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy decision for multifamily. So, Debbie, we talked in the first segment about outlining and framing the issue and the problem that we have in the industry. Then the goals and roles. How do we define goals and roles in the second segment? In this segment, let's talk a little bit about employee engagement. What are your thoughts?
Well, Paul, I guess it was back in 2005 or 2006, and I embarked on this journey of getting my PhD, and I'll never forget my major professor. He said, well, you know, tell me what is your hypothesis? And I said, my hypothesis is that engaged employee drives profits to the bottom line. And what I really wanted to say, and he just kind of looked at me and he says, well, prove it. And I didn't know it was going to take, you know, 5+ years at Georgia Tech to really prove out that thesis. But what I want to offer today for our listeners is we have three types of employees. We have those that are disengaged, that are looking for another opportunity on our watch. That's disengaged. Then we have another group of employees called enrolled, and they're just kind of going through the motions. They, what I call, kind of appear just to be doing the job, but not putting their heart in it. And then we have this third group called engaged employees. And what I'd like to really, you know, define is, what is engagement? Well, engagement is showing discretionary effort. It's doing the extra. It's coming up with innovative, you know, solutions when they're faced with challenges. And so if you look at disengaged, enrolled, and engaged, what are those characteristics? What are the drivers of employee engagement? Like, what makes me as an employee want to really do my best? And we just talked about playing in your genius zone and the roles that we serve on a property. So quickly, I just like for us to talk about these drivers of engagement. And these are in no particular order, but I do want to call, and as I share those, I will you know, stop on a few of these drivers and explain what I mean by them. But the first one, if you're taking notes, you can write down just this term called clear expectations. And that's what we just talked about in our first and second segment of the program, is goals and roles, that I know what is expected of me at work, clear expectations. The second driver is that materials and equipment, that I have the materials and equipment I need to do my work correctly. And I just want to give a shout out for some of our property management companies during the pandemic. You know, there were some owner manager companies that said they wanted their employees to be, you know, fully stocked with everything that they needed to work from home during those first months of the pandemic. And so there were multifamily companies that set up their employees with the laptops and the technology support that they needed. And to me, that just spoke so highly of that particular culture of that company. So number two is, I have the materials and equipment I need to do my work correctly. Number three is, I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day. Now, that was exactly what we were talking about when I mentioned the genius zone, is that, you know, we are able to use our strengths to the highest and best use. Number four is, and this is important, and I'm really going to talk about this in our last segment of today's program, is in the last 7 days. Now, friends, I didn't say in the last 7 years. I said in the last 7 days, I have received recognition or praise for doing good work. And, you know, people, leaders often think, well, I just, you know, my employees just want more money. Well, we all want more money, but that's not what makes us stay at a particular company. We're going to be talking about that in our last segment as I talk about the five love languages of appreciation in the workplace. And so we're probably familiar with the five love languages in relationships, but I'm going to talk about it as they relate to work. But number five, the driver is someone seems to care about me as a person. Okay. Now, I know a lot of us are high performance leaders, and we get to the agenda and we jump into our meetings, and we just, you know, sometimes we forget to check in with somebody before we launch into what we need for them to do. So number five says my employer or someone at work seems to care about me as a person. Number six, someone at work encourages my development. Now, that might not just be your immediate supervisor. That might be that you have a mentor, a partner, you know, someone on your team that, you know, is just really encouraging you to get your CAM or your ARM designation or your CAPS or some professional certificate. But the bottom line is that there's someone on that team that says you can do it. You know, you can pass that test or you can accomplish your goals. Number seven, at work, my opinion counts. How many times have we, you know, put a suggestion box or portal on our intranet and ask people for ideas and recommendations all to have it fall on deaf ears? So the seventh important driver is my opinion counts. So if you're going to ask your team members what their opinions are, make sure you communicate it, how you took some of their recommendations. Number eight, the mission or purpose of my company makes me feel my job is important. We certainly know that, you know, affordable housing and, you know, working in supportive housing, that is really mission-centric, that people have a calling. And while I'm talking about that, you know, there's a vast difference between a job, a career, and a calling. So number eight says that my mission or purpose of my company really makes me feel important. Number nine, my associates or fellow employees are committed to doing quality work. There's nothing, you know, more discouraging than working on a team where you feel like, you know, three people are rowing in one direction and four rowing in another direction, and they're not, you know, focused on doing quality work. My mother, Paul, was a home economics teacher, and she would always say, measure twice, cut once. And I really appreciate, you know, her just being a stickler for details. Number 10, this is a big one. I have a best friend at work. When you have a best friend at work, you create safer workplaces. And, you know, I did a lot of work at Georgia Tech around the professional masters of occupational safety and health. And when you care about your team members and there's trust, you know, Paul, you and I wouldn't be on this presentation today if we hadn't met so many years ago, and we care about one another and we support one another. So number 10 is I have a best friend at work. Number 11, someone's talking about my progress. And number 12, this last year I've had the opportunity at work to learn and to grow. So those are really the 12 most important drivers of employee engagement. So with that, I think that might wrap up our third section of our program today. And when we come back, we'll be talking about how do you keep people engaged and reward their hard work.
That's fantastic. And we will be back with our final segment of this episode right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We are discussing the topic of goals and roles, swimming in your lane, and reaching your full potential. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and nationally sought-after industry educator, and great multifamily thought leader and industry consultant, the awesome Dr. Debbie Phillips, president of the Quadrillion. I do want to let our listeners know, if you are interested in some very unique sponsorships, Multifamily Matters has some sponsorships that are coming available brand new. Please reach out to us through our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Debbie, great input, first three segments, and let's talk a little bit about the appreciation and potential part of this discussion.
Well, we started out, Paul, with our conversation around our four primary goals that we try to accomplish for our owners. And then we went into really what are the roles and how do we play to our strengths. And we just talked about those key drivers of employee engagement. And so I'd like to tie a bow around our discussion today around how do we really encourage and show appreciation. And, you know, I'm reminded one day I thought that I was really, showing appreciation to someone and recognizing them. And so I gave them an award. I called them up on stage. And I could see this lady, she looked like she was breaking out in hives. And I thought, well, Donna, what is wrong? And she goes, oh, Dr. Debbie, she said, I'm mortified. She said, I'm the behind-the-scenes person, and I don't like being on stage. And while I appreciate this award, could we just please hurry up? And it was just a what I call kind of a BGO, a blinding glimpse of the obvious, that just because, I think somebody likes something doesn't mean that is really how to win their heart. And the only reason I wanted to share that with our listeners is that you got to get to know your team members. And when we talk about that great book by Gary Chapman, probably many of us have read or know what we're talking about, the love languages mm-hmm. in our relationships. Well, Gary Chapman and Paul White, another Paul, wrote that book, Five Love Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. And it just ties so nicely in to our discussion around, you know, how do we show appreciation? And so I wanted to leave our audience with those five love languages. And one is words of affirmation. And when we thank people, we need to make sure that, you know, we're being specific, like, thank you for doing, you know, a great job on that variance report, or thank you for, you know, getting that inspection report and going through and tidying it up and making it look neat before we sent to the owner. So the first one, obviously, is words of affirmation. The second is quality time. And all of our leaders out there, I want to make sure that you understand that our new team members, well, our existing team members do too, but our new team members, they really want access to the leadership. And I know many of our leaders in our multifamily companies, they have what they call town halls, where they will schedule a call where everybody can call in. And that's great. But don't forget that it's important to go out to your properties and have the lunch and learns and the breakfast with the leaders. So that's what I mean by quality time. Acts of service. You know, that's important because we're all stretched thin, but if you have a team member and they're really under a tight deadline and you chip in and you help them or you prepare for, you know, a training program that's happening the next day and you don't want your team member to stay there to all hours of the night getting ready, that you chip in. And that's what we call acts of service, is that, you know, when we see a need and we feel it, people really respond to that, and that's one of those love languages, is acts of service. The other one is tangible gifts. You know, whether, you know, your company has, you know, tickets to a sporting event or tickets to something that your team members may not be able to afford right now, and you give them tickets so that their families can go be a part of it. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and this past Christmas, we had companies that had tickets to the Botanical Gardens, the Night of Lights, and that kind of thing, the Tree of Lights. So it was great because some of the team members got to take their families to those types of events. So that's what we mean when we say tangible gifts. The other one is physical touch. Now, you say, oh, my goodness, my HR people are going crazy. I mean a pat on the back. I mean, you know, just a friendly hug. You know what's appropriate and what's not. But it could be a high five after maintenance mania, you know, when somebody's beat their own record time. So I just wanted to share with everyone that I read a quote one time, you know, before asking for someone's hand, you have to touch their heart. Mm. And I wanted to close out this session or section of our program today by giving you three areas where you can develop relationships at a deeper level. It's called FOR, F-O-R, family. When you know what's going on with your team members and their needs and that kind of thing, when you get to know them and you know something about their family, George Lane, Paul, you probably remember George Lane. He passed away a few years ago, but he was an icon in our industry. And one of the things that I always remember about George is before he went into the property, he would always look at his notes and he would remember and recall things like, oh, you know, you've got a great tennis player in your family, or he would just always win the hearts and minds of his associates because he knew things about their family. O is for occupation. How long have they been in the industry? What do they want to accomplish? What are some of their aspirational goals? and then R is recreation. Nobody likes to talk about work all the time. You need to know what people like to do when they're not at work. What are the things that they do in recreation? So as we wind up, I want us to be thinking about how do you go deeper in relationships? Well, you think about those five love languages, words of appreciation, quality time, acts of service, tangible gifts, and physical touch. But then you also focus on that great relationship. Know their family, occupation, know what sparks joy in their work, and then what do they like to do for fun. So, Paul, I think those are some great reminders. You know, the things that we've shared today are nothing new, but they're certainly gentle reminders that, you know, Maya Angelou said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And it's important that we make people feel included. So I'd like for everybody to just think about what is the goal and what is your role in creating an environment where people want to come give their very best.
All right. Well, we could talk about this topic for another whole show, and we probably will at some point have you back on to talk about it. But we've got about a minute left. Tell our listeners a little bit about what's going on with you, the Quadrillion, and we've got a big event coming to Georgia, the 2023 Apartmentalized. Talk about that.
Absolutely. And I want everybody, you know, I hear somebody, you know, Atlanta is a great city to get to. And I want everybody that's listening to this program today to make time to come to this event. And you say, well, what am I going to get out of it? Exactly what you put into it. When you come and you want to learn and you want to grow, remember that was one of the drivers of employee engagement, opportunity to learn and to grow. It's not so much just the wonderful speakers that we get to hear, but it's being together and it's that fellowship. And what I'm doing at the Quadrillion, I'm attracting talent to this great industry. I'll be on February 16th, I'll be talking to 750 high school students about how their pathways and what they're doing in high school leads to a great career in property management. We also have the career opportunities in real estate, reaching out to historical black colleges and universities. And then I'm also talking to groups, career changers, that people are saying, you know, how do I want to use the third chapter of my life to do more meaningful work? So that's what keeps me busy, and I love teaching.
Well, we love having you on the show, and you're welcome back anytime. But we are going to have to break it here. We will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.